please sit down. As we unite with others up and down the country, worshipping in all kinds of different places, from tiny chapels to great cathedrals to the open air, I'm going to use the Lord's Prayer together. Forgive me, I only know the old words, so those are the ones I'm going to use. Let's pray together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together an old Celtic hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Please sit down. Every year the Royal British Legion take a slightly different approach to remembrance. Every year they focus on something different. This year in particular they're focusing on those who serve from other parts of the Commonwealth during two world wars. And in a moment we're going to watch this year's British Legion poppy video. When the video finishes and it lasts about 2 or 3 minutes, I would like you to stand please and we'll observe a minute of silence together, and then I will lead us in prayer. So let's watch the video. Thank you, Roger.
We We are going back to where we came from, the land of hell.
My Sam Gamgee is indeed a reflection of the English soldier.
Because I shall die arms in hand wearing the warrior's clothes.
But the other two services also pioneered the beginning of votes for women.
He stayed there, standing and waiting, under heavy fire.
And laments their shrinkage as the days grow shorter.
On this day, in 1918, Lieutenant Colonel William Murray of the Royal Horse Artillery wrote, "I have seen the last shot fired. No more danger, no more wars, and no more mud and misery. Forgive us, Father, that his words proved to be so dramatically mistaken. Forgive us for every drop of blood spilt on every battlefield since that day, and that the firing has not stopped. We pray today for those who serve in the armed forces on air, land and sea. Give them courage and help them to conduct themselves always with dignity and honour, we pray. We remember especially those who return from the battlefield with injuries of mind and body. We ask that you would grant both wisdom and skill to those who tend them. And we pray for those who wait, the families of serving personnel. When the gap between each leave is so long and the distance so wide, we pray for peace and comfort. And finally, we pray for those who command, who bear the weight of committing men and women to fight. Grant them wisdom and a keen awareness that they answer to a higher authority, we pray. On this day, and in the name of Jesus, we ask you to hear our prayer. Amen. Amen. Do you please sit down. When I was age 11 or 12, or at least old enough to head off into Reading, I was born in Tylehurst, to head off into Reading town centre with my pocket money on a Saturday, I started going to the market in St Mary's Butts. And I started collecting these. At the time, they cost me about 50p a go. Now, they're much more than that, regimental badges. and there's now over 300 in the collection. And, you know, some of them are really very beautiful. You've got some of the Glengarry cap badges here, not actually from the Scottish Regiment, but Canadian Scottish, but they took the patterns with them. You've got the trades badges, the musicians, and the drummer, and the farrier, all sorts of different things there. Some of them really are very beautiful. Some of them are very unusual. This one here was granted only to the members of the South Staffordshire Regiment who took part in a Horsa glider raid on Cyprus in 1943. There were only 27 gliders, and they were only given to the people who were on them. And therefore, there aren't very many of them around. Some of them really are very unusual. Trouble is, you see, when I first started, I had no idea how to look after them. These are the first ones I ever bought. Now, this one here, you have a look afterwards by me. This one here should have been a bronzed officer's badge from the Australian Commonwealth General Service Corps. It was the first one I bought, and I took it home. I thought, oh, it's all black and mucky. I'd best clean that off. And, of course, utterly ruined it by doing so. And any pure collector would shake their head in horror at me doing so. You see, when it comes to looking after our memories, or antiques for that matter, if we do it the wrong way, it doesn't serve us well. Do it the wrong way and clean up the antiques or the memories too vigorously and they lose their character. Treat them with neglect and they lose their brightness, hence the restoration of the plaque for this 100th year. You know, I believe that the habit of remembrance is appropriately enshrined in national life. To be silent even for 2 minutes in the noise, to stop in the incessant busyness is a healthy thing. But I also believe that to us as Christians, it serves as a reminder that we need to stop and remember the things of God. To remember what has been affects both what is and then goes on to determine what will be. In the book of Ecclesiastes, I suspect we only know very selected parts of it. Most of you will know Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me remind you, there is a time for everything. A time for war, a time for peace, a time to smile, a time to weep, and so forth. Some of you will know Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one. It's often preached on as a marriage text. And then later on, in verse 12 of that chapter, it talks about a three-stranded cord not being easily broken. But I want to read to you from chapter 12. If you've got a Bible in front of you, by all means, do turn to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 1 to 7. Here is possibly the best statement anywhere to be found about the importance of remembering God whilst we can. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding faints. When people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well. And the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who made it. I hate to say it, but that passage is the most blunt and honest description to be found anywhere in the Bible of the process of aging. And it talks about how, well, things fall apart and things don't work the same way anymore. It talks about the passage of time, the sun and the moon moving in verse 2. It talks about how our arms are weaker than they were, the keepers of the house tremble. It talks about the strong men, their legs stooping. It talks about us losing our teeth, the grinders fail. It talks about our eyesight fading when the light grows dim. It talks in verse 4 about us not hearing so well anymore. We find the sounds fade. It talks about insomnia, which is often a problem, isn't it? The older you get, the less you sleep. Talks about the fact you rise up, it says, verse 4, at the sound of the birds. Talks about the loss of desire, verse 5. The grasshopper drags itself along. Talks about things being frightening that weren't frightening before. People are afraid of heights and danger in the streets. It's brutally honest. It's really uncomfortable reading, but I, for one, am very grateful that we have a Bible which is as blunt and honest as this is. That actually says, look, stuff changes. We are all getting older. Limbs get more tired. The brain which commands them what to do gets further and further from the way that it was. We do get more fearful as time goes by. In short, we change whether we like it or not. Life changes all around us. Life moves on all around us. You must be aware that every year, the number of those who remember the First World War in any significant way gets smaller and smaller when Remembrance Sunday comes around. The last British citizen to die in that war died in 2011. The last person to fight in the trenches died in 2009. Over time, we will gradually find that the same thing happens with those who served in or lived through the Second World War. Time moves on, and we get older, and things change. I was listening to a mum on Radio Berkshire this year talking about the loss of her son in Helmand Province, which seemed particularly poignant, and then she said, oh yes, and it was 10 years ago. 10 years? How did that happen? How was it 10 years ago that the fight was going on in Helmand Province? But things change, and we change. And if it is true that everything changes, whether we like it or not, there is one thing which must not change. And that is that we must choose to remember our Creator. Set against the swirling of passing time, swirling tide, like a mooring post with the current flowing to right and left of it, there must be a determination on our parts that we will remember our Creator. Verse 1, King Solomon, if it was him who wrote it, says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Verse 6, he comes back again and he says, remember him before it's too late, before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is shattered. It's the fact that it's put in the imperative in both those verses, the fact it comes out as a command, means that this is something where we have to make a conscious effort, a conscious decision if it is going to happen. We need to rein in our will and decide that it will be so. Make up our minds that come what may, hell or high water, or aching limbs, or failing eyesight, come what may, we will remember the God who made us. Just as we must insist, I believe, on retaining an act of remembrance in the national calendar so that the sacrifices of the men and women in the armed forces are never forgotten, so we must insist on holding in our daily calendar those habits of remembering our Creator through prayer and Bible and service so that we don't forget. Because if we don't try, we will surely forget. These things need to become so ingrained in us that even when we do change, as described in the rest of the passage, in mind and body, even when everything seems to be changing, that these things are set. There was a wonderful elderly gentleman in the church where I worshipped in St. Andrews in Fife. And when I knew him, his eyesight was already starting to fail. And do you know how he was using the last of his eyesight? He was using it to read out the New Testament and record it on cassette. That dates me, doesn't it? So that once he could no longer read it anymore, he could hear it. In fact, I think that one of those recordings was played during his funeral. The reading was given by him. You see, he'd decided that no way was he going to forget. Well, although the bit of Ecclesiastes that we all know about time, a time for this and a time for that and a time for the other, although that is so famous, actually the sound of the ticking clock is just about deafening in this passage. And again and again and again it says, remember, 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 or you will forget. Listen, things change. And therefore, we must decide that the one thing that doesn't change is that we always remember God. But here's a good thing. We have to do that only for so long. We have to remember him only until it's no longer possible to forget, which will be true one day. You will probably have worked out that for me, public and private remembrance will now always be inextricably linked. Fiona died on the 7th of November, which means that it will always come very close to Remembrance Sunday. And those things will always be linked together. But what I'm understanding more and more is that, as it says in the New Testament, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. If you looked at verse 7 in this passage, the dust returns to the ground it came from. Now that's just the same as the curse in Genesis 3. Genesis 3:19, when it all falls apart, God says, you will return to the ground, since from it you were taken, with dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now let's read the bit from Ecclesiastes again. Dust returns to the ground it came from, sentence carries on, and the spirit returns to God who made it. Isn't that wonderful? You know, alongside the limitations of the body is the unlimited life of the soul and the prospect of being reunited with God who has made us. Of course we must remember what has been, but as Christians we will always have an absolute reassurance about what will be. Friends, if the sight of all the poppies doesn't move us, if the sight of the families who've lost loved ones in the armed services doesn't move us, it probably should. Most of you will know that my eldest son served a six-month tour of duty in Camp Bastion. And I went to be there for his welcome home parade in Bielefeld in Germany. And I'd been warned by somebody, a military wife. She said, oh, you know, take the tissues, it'll be very moving. Actually, for the most part, it wasn't. For the most part, it was a lot of loud music and stamping around and people shouting. And then we were invited to come out of the tent and stand at the end of the parade ground. And they all marched past and took the salute. And as I watched them, I thought, you know, they've all got four limbs. They've all come back intact. And that was the moment when it moved me. You know, for now, life is full of hurt and brokenness and injury and sadness. But every time we do our remembering, we do so in the light of a world which will not go on being that way, which will be changed one day. Revelation 21 and verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Stuff changes. We change, so we have to remember that we've got to remember. But only for so long. Only until we see him again. You know, you can probably imagine that since that radio broadcast 3 weeks ago, my post bag has been rather full. And it's been full of the wonderful and the downright weird. You know, there was the person who sent me his book to say, could you please organise for the BBC to do a programme on it? Well, no, I couldn't. There was possibly the worst of them, the Christian Dating Agency, who sent me their book. But get this, who included with it in a sealed envelope a list of leaflets about their services, because it would have been insensitive to ask me to pass them on, like the rest of it wasn't insensitive. But in amongst it, some lovely things. In amongst it, a poem which I fell in love with years ago when Stuart Henderson wrote it, and which came back to me this week in a little envelope. And I'm going to read it to you now as I close. It's called The Last Enemy. Remember this. And he who each day reveals a new masterpiece of sky, and whose joy can be seen in the eyelash of a child, who when he hears of our smug indifference can whisper an ocean into lashing fury and talk tigers into padding roars. This is my God, whose breath is in the wings of eagles, whose power is etched in the crags of mountains. It is he whom I will meet, and in whose presence I will find tulips and clouds, kneeling martyrs and trees, the whole vast praising of his endless creation. And he will grant the uniqueness that eluded me and my earthly bartering with Satan. That day, when he will erase the painful gasps of my ego, and I will sink my face into the wonder of his glory, love. And I will watch as planets converse with sparrows on that day when death is finally dead. In our remembering of what has been, let's remember that there's better to come. Let's pray together. Father, for your unflinching faithfulness and for your every promise, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing together, Faithful One. you please sit down? It's always good at communion time to pray for each other's needs, and Carrie's going to come and do that now. Thank you.
Let us pray. As we gather around this communion table, may we always remember that we are unconditionally loved by you. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us on the cross of Calvary and rising again to set us free and secure our freedom now and for all eternity. On this Remembrance Sunday, we remember and pray for those for whom today is a difficult day. Lord, where pain still overwhelms, please bring healing, and to the brokenhearted, your comfort and hope. We thank you, dear Lord, for every precious memory of loved ones no longer with us, for their wonderful inspiration, example, and legacy. Dear Father, please embrace in your loving arms all within the NBC family who are this day mourning and recently bereaved. We especially remember Jill Hall, Di, Wendy and Chris, and all the Hall family at this time, and also others known to us who are grieving the loss of a loved one through very tragic circumstances. Please comfort them in their loss, hold them in their sorrow, and sustain them in all the difficult days ahead. We also remember and pray for your healing touch upon all those within our church family who are currently in hospital or unwell. We especially bring before you now Vivian Moon, recovering from surgery, and David Brazier, undergoing tests in Basingstoke Hospital. Lord, please restore them to wholeness, health, and strength. For others here today who feel overwhelmed by difficult circumstances and have concerns about loved ones, family members and friends going through testing times, would you please grant your peace which surpasses all understanding? Thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge and strength and an ever-present helper in times of trouble. But Lord, we remember today that you are not only our rock in times of trouble, but you rejoice with us too in the good times, and you alone can bring joy out of pain. Today, Lord, we celebrate with Mike Gurr and Lorraine on the joyful occasion of their marriage yesterday. We pray that the one who brought them together will bless their marriage with happiness and contentment and deepen their love for you and each other. We ask all these prayers in the almighty name of Jesus Christ, the peace and hope of the world, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
So as we come to share this bread and wine, we remember how during his last night on the earth, Jesus sat around a table with his friends. And during the meal, he took some bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this," he said, "to remember me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Before we share the bread and wine, let's give thanks as he did. Father, for this costly love, for this life laid down, for this brokenness that makes us whole, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take the bread and eat it as we receive it. When you receive the cup, please hold on to it and then we'll drink together. Thank you. Drink this, knowing that the blood of Christ has set you free, and be thankful. In just a moment or two, during our closing hymn, we'll take up an offering for the work of the United Missions in Nepal, and for Phil and Pratiksha Rawlings in particular. Desperately needy country, very beautiful, but very needy. And if you're able to give, then please do. I wonder if could we see the words for this last hymn, please, Roger, on the screen. If you ever look at some of the aerial photos of the song, there's one pair of them in particular where a whole village was literally wiped off the map. Before the battle, you can see the roads and the houses and the fields and the fences, and afterwards there is nothing. Nothing at all. The world is a bloody and battered place, but it still belongs to God. And we affirm that every time we worship. Let's stand and sing this wonderful hymn together as we close our service.
Thank you.
Don't forget, after the service is over, if you'd like to go and have a look at the plaque, I've cleared the chairs so there's space for you to do that. There's some information there about the people on the board. I'll also leave these up here for you. Whatever you're doing with the rest of today, whether you're joining in with other people in the town centre or going to your homes, may God bless you today. Let's pray together. And now we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.